Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. Galatians 5, 21. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. We've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit now for several weeks. And I don't think there's too much that's more timely to discuss right now, especially when you contrast it to those preceding verses about the works of the flesh. And you know, there is a spirit to every age, to every time. Satan is constantly throwing the pendulum back and forth, back and forth. But I don't think there's ever been a time in my short years on this earth that there has been a greater need to address the issue of anger and the sins of anger. We live in an angry time. People are angry. And the only cure for that is the fruit of the Spirit. A couple of months ago, we had a school shooting in Florida. A couple of weeks ago, we had another deadly one in Texas, and now this week another one. You can't put in enough metal detectors. Somebody says, oh, the schools are so unsafe. No, the society is unsafe. At the same time, last weekend, the first hot weekend Chicago had, 84 shootings in Chicago in one weekend, including a little child. You don't hear about this because it's not a school shooting, but a little child sitting on their doorstep with her family, shot and killed. Not in Afghanistan. Not in Somalia. Not in Venezuela or China or North Korea. In Chicago. And I know that often as parents we think, oh, I have to keep my child safe, but we can't keep anybody safe. The parents were standing right there with the girl. And it's not about weapons. Fruit of the Spirit. We've taken the fruit of the Spirit out of the schools, and look what we've got. We've taken it out of the government, and look what we've got. We've taken it out of the media, and look what we've got. Can you imagine? We are so insane that in a society filled with anger, we want our children to watch hours of killing people as a game. Hours of it a day. And just to make sure that they don't get denied their fix, we'll put it on a phone so you can carry it with you. God's plan is to make us like Him. And that's why He's given the fruit of the Spirit. Salvation isn't, okay, you're forgiven, go your way, do your thing, I'll see you in a few years. Salvation is about changing our hearts. We need to be different than the world. And no one but a true believer can be, because if you do not truly know where your eternity is, you do not have the strength to face the kind of anger and hatred and lust and greed that's out there. If your life is about this life, there is no way to remain loving and joyous and faithful and patient and long-suffering and good. Today I want to talk about the end of all this. And there is an end. And that end is coming. I don't know, but it seems to me a lot of people that call themselves pastors have some weird goals in their life. I don't know if they don't take seriously who God is. I don't know what it is. But let me be perfectly clear. I have one goal. You ever have one of those profound moments when God just puts something in you and it never leaves? All you have to do is think about it and you're right back there. I had that about 40 years ago. Watching a movie called A Distant Thunder. And in it, this successful pastor with the pews filled and everybody with smiling faces and nice, and fills their ears full of stupidity. And Jesus comes and every one of his people's left behind. And one of them confronts him and she says, "Why didn't you tell us all this?" He said, "Well, I didn't want to scare you." She says, "I would have rather been scared into heaven than left here to go through hell." Some of you have been here quite a while, and you know what we've gone through, but everything that I've gone through because I don't want a single person who's sitting here, not one, I don't want one person to stand at that judgment and go, "You're out. Gone." And say, "Pastor. Pastor, Pastor, why am I not in? Why am I missing out?" And that means we need to come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Our lives need to be transformed. And he lays it out here. Let's look at some scripture about this. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's getting late. I'm not going to give us everything, but there's so much in here. But let's start at verse 16. I'd like to go up and start earlier, but let's just start at the butt. He's been talking about Moses. Moses went up on the mountain, and glory filled his soul. And he came down glowing, and the people couldn't look at it. And he says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. Is your life becoming more than it was? And becoming like the glory of God? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's that fruit of the Spirit being poured into us, changing us to be like Jesus. I went to pick someone up from church today. They weren't there. And it's sad. Because the help that they are seeking, not the help they need. But you know what I think when I think about that? I think about how week after week, when I was a snot-nosed teenager who didn't know up from down and in from out and what mattered from what was just stupidity, how a man came after me week after week after week. I can't say I found Christ. Not for a moment. Not only did Christ find me, but He ran me down as I was running as fast as I could to get away. There's many of us here who could say the same thing, right? And I think about how the God who had no need or right to be used that way humbled Himself to pursue me when I should have been pursuing Him. C.S. Lewis used to say that the most irritating thing about God is how He condescends to pursue us. He says it just isn't right. It isn't seemly. Being British, he'd know about that stuff. Look with me at Romans. Look with me at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 29, Romans 8, 29. For those God foreknew, oh, we're going to get into predestination now. He also predestined. Notice what it says He predestined. He did not predestine, it says, it doesn't say. Now, people may argue that it's there, but it doesn't say it, that they're predestined for salvation. What does it say they're predestined for? To be conformed to the image of His Son. God says, those He knew were going to get it. He made sure that they were going to become like Jesus. And that's why repentance is so central to the Christian faith. The Christian faith isn't I'm walking in the wrong direction, walking in the wrong direction, walking in the wrong, and suddenly I die and I'm in heaven. Christian faith is I've been walking in the wrong direction and God arrests my life and He turns me around and I begin haltingly, sometimes by inches. Don't you feel that way? Oh! We had a 50-year-old here. As some of you know better than I do, 50's for wimps. 60's the one that matters. And 70. And 80. But sometimes I go to walk places, and Friday with my toe all banged up, I had to go to work. If it hadn't been the day that it was, I'd have called in with that toenail ripped off, and I'd have just said, I've got to do an emergency call out, because I was screaming to my daughter, because I just said, I'm not going to curse no matter what. I'm going, oh, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. She's going, Dad, you're not going to die. It's not that bad. Don't be melodramatic. And then there's these blood spots all across the floor and coming in, and she's going, ah, look at your... I'm like, I told you I was going to die. But on top of that, we had a field trip that day, and we had one of our staff out, and we had to take the kids out of the building, walk them to the other building, and walk them back. And our kids, if you don't have a hand on every kid, it's you know, you're chasing them across the field. So I knew that I needed to go in, and so with my toe like that, I had to go on this walking trip. And you know, it's amazing how slow you want to walk when you're not feeling good. And there's some of us that we're walking, but man, we're walking the way I was walking on Friday. But God says He turns us around and we're walking in the... And sometimes it's taking baby steps. But because we're facing in the right direction, the day comes when we're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And that's the terrible lie that's been told to so much of the churches. You can keep facing in the wrong direction, and then magically, God turns you around at death and faces you. No! God just completes what He's begun in your heart on the day of death. For the person who was unturned around, who's still going this way, there's no being hauled back the other way. And the difference, the way I knew I was saved was not because somebody told me, oh, you've got a spiritual birth certificate. Look right here. Sign it right here. Up, there it is. It's in black and white. The way I knew I was saved was suddenly the Bible that I thought was boring and stupid came alive. And I wanted to know what God had to say. That stupid, boring church where all they do is talk about that stupid, boring Bible and that guy from 2,000 years ago named Jesus. Took a lot of time, and it does take time, but I started to change. And you know, sometimes the change happens so incrementally, so slowly, so hiddenly. We used to have a joke. We had a farmer that lived over the hill from us. He was the kind of man that took absolutely perfect care of his equipment. You know, if you've ever been on a farm, there's all this equipment that's like, well, his equipment, he would spend an hour washing the tractor before he went out on the field. And then when he came back in the field, he'd wash it again. And he never wanted to tear his equipment up, so he went slow. In fact, my uncle used to say, if you wanted to see if he was moving in the field, you had to sight along a fence post to see if he was moving. Don't you feel that way sometimes? Like, it doesn't seem like you're moving. But you know what the wondrous thing is when you're truly being filled with the fruit of the Spirit is? You may not see it today, you may not see it tomorrow, but if you look back 5 years and you really begin to examine, what was I like 5 years ago? You begin to see the changes. Because we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, will you go over with me to Hebrews? Oh, this is so precious. Let me ask you a really serious question. You ever ashamed of yourself? Oh, man, I wish I wasn't. Not because I stopped being ashamed. That would be worse. But I wish that I could think about how ashamed I'd be before I do something than after. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But look at what it says here. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Helps if I'm in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Look at what it says. Verse 10, Hebrews 2:10. Oh, golly. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, Hebrews 2:10, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Testimony we had today of a woman who lost everything to find what really mattered. I'm sure that when she was losing her health and losing her apartment and losing her money, she was saying, "Oh God, what's going on?" She found out what so many of us need to find out. It's in losing that we win. It's not in having or holding, it's in losing. Jesus was made perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed. I may be ashamed. You may be ashamed of me. I may be ashamed of you. You may be ashamed of you. I certainly know I'm ashamed of me. But Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Can you imagine that? The perfect one, the holy one, the one who never did any of the wicked things I've done, never thought any of the wicked things I've thought, never said any of the wicked things I've said. He's not ashamed to call us brothers. Let that sink in. Look at Revelation 21. Look at Revelation 21. Here's the end. Time is no more. The heavens and the earth have passed away. The physical universe is gone. They say that the physical universe is 78 billion light years across, they think, give or take. 78 billion light years across. Now, you understand the sun is 93 million miles away, and that's only 6 light minutes. And it's 78 billion light years away. Now, if you were to count, start counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1 a second, it would take you 6 days to reach a million. It would take you 6,000 days to reach a billion. And it's 78 billion light years across. The distance from where we're standing here on planet Earth to the nearest edge of the universe is over 48 billion light years. Boggles the mind, but it's all going to be gone. The heavens and the earth, gone! And the new one's there, and here's what it says. Look with me at Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice, Revelation 21, 3, from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them and be their God." Do you know people that you just don't like to be around? Can you imagine that God voluntarily chooses to be with us for all eternity? He invites us to come and be with Him forever. Not the God of Islam that says, "Oh, I'll send you to a perfect place, get away from me." God says, "I want you right here with me." One more verse and we're done for today. Will you turn with me to 2 Peter? 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. Beginning of verse 3. Second Peter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of hard work. Or the fruit of trying hard, or the fruit of, boy, you can do it if you really put your mind to it. It's the fruit of the Spirit. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. You see, that's what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's the divine nature. That's what God is. God is loving. God is joyous. God is peaceful. God is good. God is long-suffering. Patient. Perseverant. All those things. And we can share in that nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. But guess what we're going to read here in these following words? All those fruits of the Spirit: goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anything does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God wants to pour his character into us. He's predestined it for it to happen to those who are truly his. We have a world that wants to stop that in any way. A world that is enamored with darkness. You know, there's nothing good about darkness whatsoever. A world that's enamored with an entitlement mentality. I deserve. But an entitlement mentality gets you nothing. That loves our way and our things and our. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Is God forming those fruit in you? Let's bow together. Oh God, I remember years ago the testimony of a navigator saying it's so easy to fill out one of the NAV daily Bible studies and answer all the questions and dot all the I's and cross all the T's. What's really hard is to develop the character of Christ. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit might produce its fruit in me. For I ask this the honor and glory of Jesus, who you have predestined that every single redeemed person, every person that will share heaven for all eternity, will be conformed to the image of Jesus, will share his character. Lord, form that character in me in Jesus' name.